Thank you, Nathan, for reading the Word of God. Please join me as we continue worshiping the Lord with prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we come before you with fear and humility. We praise you and give thanks to you for who you are and what you have done for us. O God, you are the greatest missionary, for you send your one and only Son, Christ Jesus our Lord, to this world to die for us on the cross in order to redeem us from sin, in order to give us life anew in you. O God, we thank you for this wonderful gift of salvation. O Lord, we also give thanks to you for giving us this mandate, this mission to spread this good news of Jesus Christ in our community and beyond to the very ends of the earth. O Lord, we pray that, as the song says, may you revive us, help us become the salt and the light in this world. Help us to spread the good news so that people will hear who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for them. O Lord, we pray that as our church continues to live up to this mandate, continues to carry out this mission, you will help us to do so not only in this community, but in different places around the world. So we thank you for the mission department that we have here in our church. For the past 20 years or so, you have enabled this department to help us all to carry out your mission. Lord, we pray that all the work that has been done in your name will continue to bear fruit that will bring glory and honor to you. Lord, at this moment, we want to remember some of the missionaries that we know. Pastor Sabrina in Cambodia, we thank you for the opportunity to talk with her last Friday. We thank you that you are watching over her and you are keeping her in that mission field. She is preparing herself to take the language test. We pray that you will help her to pass the test. And may you continue to use her to be your witness in school, in different places. May people hear your good news through her witness, through her ministry. Lord, we also pray for Kyle as he continues to serve you amongst the young people in Japan. May you watch over him as well. Give him, provide for him what he needs. May he lack nothing in you. May you continue to strengthen his relationship with you, and may you bless his ministry. May many more young Japanese will come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for Cindy in Vietnam. We pray for Vanessa in Hong Kong. And Lord, we pray that you will help them all to stand firm in the faith for you, to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Lord, at this point, we also want to pray for your servant, the Reverend Keith Lee, who is the director of Go International in Canada. Lord, we thank you for bringing him to us over the weekend to share with us the mandate of mission, the stories of mission and how you have used different means and different people to bring the good news to those who are still in the dark, those who still don't know you yet. So Lord, we pray that as Go International continues to send out missionaries, continue in different mission fields around the world, we pray that you will bless this organization, you will provide for this organization, and may you continue to help it grow, help it fulfill the mandate you have given to this organization. As for Reverend Lee, we thank you that he can come and serve us this morning, and we just pray that you will bless him and anoint him. May the message that he brings comes from you, and we pray that you will give us humility to hear your word and help us understand how we can be part of your global mission, not only here in Canada, but around the world. So, Lord, we lift him up to you, and may you bless the following time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we are very glad to have the Reverend Keith Lee, the director of Go International Canada. In our midst, Reverend Lee has been ministering to us over the weekend, helping us understand the work of God in mission around the world. And the Reverend Lee is married with three children. Right now, they live in Toronto. We are very happy that he can come and bring us the Word of God. The Reverend Lee used to be missionary, the whole family used to be missionary in Burma and in northern Thailand, but in the past 3 years now, right? Yeah, he has been, the whole family has been back in Canada. And so this morning we are very happy to have him in our pulpit.
Morning. We really thank God that we have a weekend together to really deeply meditate about the Great Commission the Lord giving to us. I'll show you a short clip first before the message. I like the music. Give us a sense of hurry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we really give thanks to you that you sent Jesus Christ to the world, who crucified on the cross for us, and commissioned us to do the great commission for you. Lord, we thank you. We can see. You make us see the field is plenty. Workers are just few. Lord, we ask you to help us to draw our heart to you, that we really have an eye to see, have the same horizon that Jesus has, to see the crowd of people, that the people need the Lord. Lord, we thank you in this morning that we worship you and we listen to your word, and may your Holy Spirit lead us into your word, your truth, that we know how and what we have to do for your great commissions. Lord, we thank you and we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field. They are ripe for harvest. The field is ready for harvest. Harvesting the unreached. This is the theme for the mission conference this year. Now, Jesus has three harvesting, so-called harvesting message. First in Gospel of John chapter 4 here, outside Samaria. And then in Matthew chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's the food Jesus has, to do the work of the Lord. Jesus said that the Bible said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word the Lord giving to us, by obeying what he commands us to do. Here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on him because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvesting field. Now, the harvest in Old Testament, there are three different meaning on it. It is a life cycle, a daily life cycle for the people who harvest. And it is a gift from the Lord. And harvest is also a message of judgment. In the Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, as long as the earth endures seed time and harvest the cold and heat, summer and winter day and night will never cease. That's a life cycle. That's a life cycle. Harvesting is part of the life cycle. We have our own life cycle as well. This is part of our life. Harvest is a gift from the Lord. That Lord in Exodus here, the Lord said, obey what I commanded you, and you shall not have any pools in any pool in your communities. So harvest is the gift of the Lord giving us in our life cycles. So open our eyes that in part of our life cycle is it is not just to live by bread, but to obey. The whole thing is to obey the Lord's commands, to make our life in His word. Harvest is also a message of judgment. In the in Joey, it's a judgment, a sense of judgment that the harvest time is the judgment day. The judgment day comes. Now, in the harvest in the New Testament, John, in Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said, "Open your eyes and look at the field. Look at the field. It's ready. It's time for harvest. Now it's ready. Now harvest is now, and it is not yet. It's harvest is to come. It's a day. The end of the age. It's the judgment day. So the harvest in the New Testament is now and not yet. We can see that the time is coming. This is a time that we have to tell the people the good news. The good news is good news that when it being preached and it is good news to the people when it is in time. Only when it is in time. Harvest is now. It's the field is near. The field is now that people are ready for harvest. We can see that just the short clip that you can see. We saw so-called unreached people that they have never been heard about the good news. That one-third of the people, about 2 billions of people in the world that never been heard about the good news. The good news, the gospel is the good news only when it is being preached, being sent in time. Harvest is not yet come. It's the time of the judgment. It's the time that the Lord comes. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved. How do we meditate about this scriptures? Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So when we look at the 2 billion people that never been heard about the gospel, that what are their situation be? Jesus met a Samaritan woman, met a woman who had deeply binded by sin, that with his many burdens in his heart, in her heart. Jesus told her about the good news at the gate, and this woman who when she met Jesus, her life changed, being transformed. And she even left her bucket and ran to the village and told the people about Jesus would come. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." How do we look at the field today? The field is near. It's not just so far from overseas, but it is near in our community, in our campus, in our working places. It is in our community. Still, there are plenties that the harvest is, this is a time of harvest. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 34, Jesus went through all the towns and village teaching the teaching in the synagogue, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every sickness, disease and sickness. He served the people and he preached the good news. He brought his disciples to see, to work, to run through the field, to look at the field, how it looked like, and what is your responsibility is. So in back to Gospel of John here, verse 36, "Even now the river draws his wage, and even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together." It's a joyful thing to do. The sower and the reaper rejoice together. One sows and another reaps. It's true that it's a teamwork together for the great commission. Make disciples for all nations. It's the teamworking. Missionaries work far from overseas, and we support them, we pray for them. It's a teamwork together. Jesus said, "Be glad here. So one soul and one another's wits." It's true that I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefit of their labor. So we rejoice together. It's a teamwork together. Look at some of our few pictures. This is the picture that the first picture when we were in Thailand with our older son Samuel in 1999. This is where we taught at a Bible Institute, and we live in a border town right here. This is the border gate, and this is another border, the Chinese and Burmese border in the Golden Triangle area. The picture are far from you, but when you look at the picture, that it's very you can see the feel. Although those pictures took from far from you. And this is a border, the Thai-Burmese border, where we live in a border town. Many public flowers, and it is a military air-controlled zone in Burma. I like to show this picture that when some people would like to say that, I'd like to go with you, Pastor Keith, and let him to take a look at this picture. This is how we travel in the Golden Triangle area, to find the unreached. It is hard to imagine that it is far up in the hill. There's still people living there. People need the Lord. These are the unreached. Look at their eyes. These are the children that we have schools and a church working among them. Many of the Hillside Church are small, but they are spreading all over the places, so they need a worship place. We also train the missionaries, local missionaries working among them. This is how we do evangelical meetings in an open area. We do baptism at a stream, do church plantings. How we live in the hillside when we visit them. And we do the training there. And many children over there. Kids are many. So you look at the picture. These people look far from us. They look far from us, but they also need the good news. For Jesus finished Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Lord. That's the food that Jesus has. He challenged the disciples to see the field, to see the crowd, that to look at the harvest field. We are among the crowd, among the people every day. How do we look at the people? When Jesus looked at the people, he said, when he saw the crowd, that he has compassion to them. He has compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without shepherd. Compassion. I remember once I traveled in the hillside, like the picture I show you with a motorcycle, that I went with a young pastor. We want to reach one of the village up in the hill, and we take a shortcut because of the time that we take a shortcut, and that this young man who lived there told us to leave our motorcycle at the butcher's, and then we walk shortcut. And he told me, keep a distance, teachers. We walk about an hour, then we can walk up to that ground, to that village. Let me walk in the front, and we keep a distance about 2 meters away, that take about an hour that we can travel to that village. Why we have to keep a distance to walk? To follow him, he said, follow me, follow my footsteps, and then we walk up to the village. Why? Because there were landmines in that path before. He is willing to walk in front and ask me to follow him. From this young man, from this young pastor, I learned how to follow. And I learned from this young man, I deeply learned that how we what is the meaning of following. Every footstep is using his life. He is willing to risk his life to give up as a safe journey. So Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. From this young man, I learned not just how to follow, but how to deny oneself to follow Jesus. So what is our life cycle today? Are we just having our professions, our livings, just earn for our livings? Or we can do another way that we can break our life cycles to follow the Lord closely for the eternal meaning. Jesus sent the 12, and then he sent the 70s. He bring the disciples to look at the field, and he proclaimed the message, the field is plenty, workers of field, to challenge the disciples. I'm sending you to the field for harvest. Jesus mobilized the 70s, first the 12 and then the 70s, to do the work for harvest. Now, how do we respond? The harvest is plenty, but workers are few. I have another short clip for you to see. It's a song.
The job is not done in the world that Christ gave us to do, and the mandate is still binding on us today. That's why we speak of unreached people groups. But the missions is the back-breaking, culture-penetrating, darkness-shattering initial work to penetrate, plant the church, see it flourish, get its own elders, train its own people, evangelize its own networks. That's the task of missions. It's not over. And that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And the alternative is hell. And millions and millions and millions of people are on their way there, and we have the only means of escape in our heads and in our hearts, Jesus Christ.
There are many prodigal sons on our city streets, they run searching for shelter.
Pentecost, brothers and sisters, this is not an invitation to an easy life. For 2,000 years, thousands and thousands of missionaries, the unnamed, no biographies written about them, just unnamed people of whom the world is not worthy, have counted this cost and put their lives at risk and reached the lost with the only message of salvation.
Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Once again, you remind us the Great Commission is not a choice but a command to obey. Lord, we thank you. You remind us also that every second we delay, two people die in this world without hearing the good news. Lord, we thank you. You remind us again and again that our life cycle is not just by bread alone. We shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, the Lord, you given to us. Lord, we really thank you for this weekend and this morning that you remind us that people need the Lord. We thank you and we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.